I'd like to bring your attention to verse 37, Matthew 23, where the Lord is looking at Israel and he's weeping. And he says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Mm-hmm. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. If he could just maybe get a sense of the heartbreak that the Savior of the world is going through at this moment. Mm-hmm. Look, you all have, as much as I do, legitimate reasons to be concerned about this, that, and the other. We all have responsibilities, amen? And the blessed thing is that we have opportunity to meet those responsibilities. And we have an advantage, amen? We have clarity of life and across the board. But nevertheless, what I like about getting together and listening to the Word of God, it probably helps me put things to the side. And at this moment, when I read that verse, I think about the heart of God, you know? We're so caught up in our daily living, and there's nothing wrong with being caught up and being responsible, but there's a place, amen? We belong to Christ, and we certainly need to discover Him on a daily basis. And you know, we, you know, the captain of our faith has brought victory over all anyways, right? Mm-hmm. We're just a passing through. Do you realize that you're just a pilgrim here, right?
Yeah.
That's what the Bible says. We're only pilgrims here, and the best is yet to come. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, and Jesus is going to make that happen. But in the meantime, there are lessons in life and what we go through. They can be very distracting. And I, one of the things that I love about reading the Bible is that it takes me away from myself. It takes me away from the issues of life that surround me as well as you. And I'm able to think a little bit about what God goes through in his eternal existence. And he cries out, Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. And that sentiment is still in place. And I want it to be clear. I'm not speaking. Years ago, this was out in Buffalo. I preached a message similar to the one I'm going to preach here today. And a man accused me of speaking evil of Israel. And nothing could be further from the truth. I am very clear-minded that Israel is the apple of God's eye.
Amen.
And there ain't nothing that anybody in the world, whether it be Hitler, the Palestinians, or any other group in the world, there's nothing that's going to change that. There are those that believe that the church has replaced Israel. That's a heresy. The church does not replace Israel. In fact, we are made partakers of the commonwealth of Israel when you got saved. You are grafted in. Amen? To the natural branch. We're grafted into the natural branch. We're not replacing the branch. And God ain't done with Israel.
Amen.
But in the meantime, they suffer greatly. I think these kinds of issues are brought to our attention, and I find that there's a lot of confusion. I always encourage people to listen to the news because I have a book that is specifically written with prophecies that I may have a measure of things as they're developing to see where we're at as things move along. Amen? Now, we know that the Bible says that God is not the author of confusion, right?
Amen.
God is not the author of confusion. But with that said, let's go to John chapter 8, if you will. John chapter 8. Let's take a look at who is a little bit more closer. Amen. In John chapter 8. Where's Pastor Tito? Hey, is that thing, that chaplaincy thing still going, brother?
What?
The thing for the chaplaincy?
Yes.
Is that still? Oh, bless God. Pray for Pastor Tito. He's been asked to be the chaplain of the police department and the fire department. And those are those guys, boy, I tell you what, mm-hmm. Those guys need the gospel as well. Amen?
Amen.
So pray for that, please. Mm-hmm. In John chapter 8, verse 42, let's pick it up there. And Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, now he's talking to the leaders of Israel. Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, you would love me. For I proceed forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? The answer is, even because you cannot hear my word. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Have you ever heard of misinformation? You know that misinformation requires a little bit of truth in order for people to buy it. But Satan is a liar. And he's lied to everybody, and everybody's bought into his lie, and therefore everybody has to pay the consequences for not listening to God. God is not the author of confusion. The world is, isn't it? Not only is he a murderer, but aren't people murdering people left and right? You don't have to go to Israel. Mm-hmm. You don't have to go that far down the neighborhood. Are you with me today, folks? Mm-hmm. Satan is the author of confusion. He's a liar. It's scary. What's going on today is scary from a perspective. Brother Rene and I, we went out on visitation, and there was a huge group of Palestinians screaming out everything that you see on television here in the city of Rochester. Okay? Now, why is that a problem? Well, let's look at Genesis chapter 3, or chapter 12, rather. Genesis chapter 12. I'm jumping ahead of the message here. Genesis chapter 12. Let's look at verses 1 through 3. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land which I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curses thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Mm-hmm. Don't lose sight of that. The first textbook in our schools in the United States of America was the Bible. Amen. The Europeans said, we're going to have the God of the Bible to be our God. The church in America chose God. God chose Israel. And the United States has always been on the side of Israel. Therefore, whatever greatness you see in America is not because there's any intrinsic greatness in and of itself. It's because we support Israel and because there's still a church that is proclaiming the truth and the light of the Word of God.
Amen.
The historian Alexander, the French historian Alexander de Tocqueville, discovered that the greatness of America is not in education, it's not in industry, it's not in farming. The greatness of America comes out of the pulpits of the church in America that believe and preach the book. To God be the glory.
Amen.
And God will bless those that bless Israel, and God will curse those that curse Israel.
Amen.
And if we're here cursing Israel, amen, that is scary, yep, for America. Mm-hmm. Let's go to Deuteronomy. This is a song here where Moses is about ready to turn over everything. Deuteronomy chapter 32. And I'm going to preach this, the rest of this chapter tonight. There's a lot here. There's a lot of prophecy of this song. But for our purpose here, let's read from verses 1 through 10. Give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. My doctrine shall drop as the rain, my speech shall distill as the dew, as a small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass, because I will publish the name of the Lord. Ascribe ye greatness unto our God. He is the rock, bless God. He is perfect, for all his ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. They have corrupted themselves. Their spot is not the spot of his children. They are as perverse and crooked generation. Do ye thus requite the Lord, O foolish people and unwise? Is not he thy father that hath bought thee? Hath he not made thee and established thee? Remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask thy father, and he will show thee. Thy elders, and they will tell thee. When the Most High divided the nations. This is an amazing verse right here. When the Most High divided the nations, their inheritance, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. Man, that would be a study in and of itself. For the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. He found him in a desert land and in a waste howling wilderness. He led them about. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eye. Even when God divided the planet into different nations, it was a division with a prophecy of putting a people aside by which one day he will rule the world. It's powerful, powerful stuff right there. But what happens? Let's look at Luke 19. Let's look at all sides to all of this. Luke 19. Let's look at verse 44, please. And shall lay thee even with the ground, and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. They did not know the day of their visitation because they ignored the prophecy of the coming Messiah. Oh, Jerusalem! Oh, Jerusalem! The heart cry of God. What are prophecies for if they're not to know where things are going as God develops them? This is why you need to read your Bible. You need to study the scriptures. You need to know what the prophecies are all about. We're just about ready to enter into the last week of Daniel's 70th week. We're inching up to that. The Palestinians don't know it, neither do the Jews. And they're killing each other. And neither does the majority of the world. But we've got the prophecies. Shall Should we not be advised? Of course we should. Should we not fear the rock of our salvation? Should we take grace for granted? Well, we're saved by grace. That makes me more responsible, not less responsible.
That's right.
Shall I find faith? The Lord asks, when he comes. Today, the Congress, we have four Jewish hating Muslims in the Congress. Four. That's amazing. I mean, now, bless God that we're still officially align ourselves with Israel. Thank God that the North Atlantic Treaty Organization aligns itself with Israel. But make no mistake about it. There is a lot of anti-Semitism in the United States of America and in the city of Rochester. That's dangerous for America. And you got people in such... And then you know the Democrat, he's a Democrat, President Biden would not allow the Prime Minister Netanyahu to come into the White House. Now look, every Jew is every much a sinner as I am. Right? Every Jew is as much a sinner as any one of us is. Every Palestinian is as much of a sinner as the next guy. But God has a purpose, and you better be on God's side. And let him sort all that stuff out. Amen. God does not speak in a void, man. How many of you were Roman Catholic at one time in your life? Raise your hand. So was I. Now, how many of you remember when I was a kid? I know you can't believe that I was ever a kid. I believe I was a kid. I was about 10, 11 years old, and there was a day where you can go what they call religious instructions. How many of you went to that when you were in grammar school? You can, man, that's amazing. You don't do that anymore. Mm-hmm. So we were allowed, the city school district, you were allowed to leave your school and go to religious instructions to whatever denomination you belong to. And in one of those occasions, I think it was a Wednesday, they used to let us go. And I used to like it because I got out of school, right? So, and then the nun told us, the group of us, she said this. She said, you really can't be a Christian unless you're Roman Catholic. We're really the Christians. And then she says, and you should know that Jerusalem belongs to the Christian. Now you know what's sad about that? We too are grafted into the Commonwealth of Israel. So biblically speaking, if you're born again, if you're saved, you do have a place in the Commonwealth of Israel. Mm-hmm. But because you're a Baptist, that doesn't help you at all, brother. If you don't have Jesus as your Lord and Savior, it doesn't matter if you're a Baptist or what. Mm-hmm. God doesn't care about that. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. It has nothing to do with anybody's religion. It has everything to do with Jesus. Amen? But if you're not a Catholic, you're not a Christian, and Jerusalem really belongs to the Christians, so that means it belongs to the Vatican. Right? So the Jews believe it belongs to them. The Israelites, the Arab were believed. So everybody's confused. And they're fighting and killing each other. The Palestinians feel oppressed. The Jews are acquiring land. They came back together in 1948, and they took over property that belonged to a bunch of other people. Now they're complaining about it. But the thing is, the promise was made to Abraham and his descendants. Amen. That's a biblical fact. Mm-hmm. You may not like it, but that's the way it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let God be true and every man a liar. So our president, he's Roman Catholic, and I don't know, but anyways, everybody wants a piece of the pie, and you can get it, but you got to get it through Jesus and not any other way.
Amen.
So let's take a look at the problem here. Look at Romans chapter 3, please. Romans 3. Here's the simplicity of it. Romans chapter 3. Look at verse 10. As it is written, there is none righteousness, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are all together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongue they have used deceit. The poison of the ass is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery is in their way, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Wouldn't it be good if everybody just got around and said, hey, let's see what the Bible says about this stuff. How many of you remember, now you're going to be dating yourself. If you remember this name, you're really old. Mohammed Anwar Sadat. Remember that name?
Yeah, I remember.
Man. Minister of Egypt. Do you know why he got assassinated? He got saved. And he began to negotiate with Israel from a biblical perspective because now he understood. He was a Muslim, an Egyptian prime minister of Egypt or something. And he was assassinated because he tried to garner some peace from Israel. He died a martyr's death. Amen. He hated the Jews too. He was against Israel too, till he got saved. Pretty awesome stuff. But Israel's going through what it's going through because they really did have the number one advantage. The promise started with Abraham. The promise continued with Isaac. The promise continued with Jacob. The promise continues with the 12 tribes of Israel to this day. The promise is still on. And they still don't know who their Savior is with, as a nation, right? As a nation. As a nation, they still don't know that Jesus is the one that died for their sins, the one that died for the sins of the world. And therefore, there are consequences. Let's take a look at Revelation chapter 12, see this a little bit. Because we are living in some very interesting times prophetically. Amen? Mm-hmm. Revelation chapter 12. Brother Wilson offered me coffee this morning so that I would not fall asleep during the message. He's a man of great wisdom. Revelation chapter 12, let's read verses 1 through 5 quickly, and then we'll just back up and make a note of some of these things. Revelation 12, 1 says, and there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads, and his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth, And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child, who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. Now, who do you think this child is? This Jesus, amen? And this red dragon is trying to destroy him, right? And since he could not, since God took him, this red dragon is trying to kill all of Israel. Amen? Why? Because Satan wants to be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The woman is Israel, verse 1. The 12 stars are the 12 tribes of Israel. And she being with child cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. And of course, that's true of anyone, right? 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 Well, why? Why? Well, because, first of all, there is a Satan that's persecuting her. But then, of course, like any other, listen, when did women start having pain in childbearing? When sin came in, right? So it's the same old story, if you will. And if you read scripturally, the light that she is drenched with is actually the light of Christ, according to Revelation chapter 21, verse 23, and verse chapter 22, and verse 5. Where does it talk about? And the moon under her feet is talking about the fact that Israel one day will rule everything related to the planet Earth. And you got to look at it. God is looking at this from the outside, and he sees the moon and the earth. And Israel will rule one day from the New Jerusalem. That's why Jesus said, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." It's about a kingdom. It's about a king.
Amen.
That's what this thing is all about. So, but remember what Jesus told the Samaritan woman? Isn't salvation of the Jews? Yeah. Didn't Jesus come to his own before he came to you and me? But his own received them not. What else do they have beyond us? Look at Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. Just bringing a little clarity, folks, to what seems to be complicated. I hear these newscasters trying to figure the whole thing out. And as far as they're concerned, there's only one bad guy. Listen, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Please, please, please. I support Israel. I'll be on the side of Israel. I don't care what they do. But there are some facts. Look at Romans chapter 3, verse 1. What advantage then hath a Jew? Or what profit is there of circumcision? Much every way, chiefly because unto them were committed the oracles of God. For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid. But the fact is, the Jews, who got the oracles of God? Who got the Bible? The Jew. This book come to us by who? By Jews. Amen? They had the advantage. And the Bible says, to whom much is given, much is required. And it breaks my heart. When I saw those Palestinians up and down this bed, I got chills. And my heart was deeply saddened.
Yeah.
Deeply saddened. Yeah. To see their ignorance. And somehow they think they're superior. And the Bible calls the descendants of Ishmael wild men. They kill everybody. They kill their own. Mm-hmm. They're in a conflict with the world. And it's prophetically speaking. Spoken. I think it's in Genesis chapter 16. Let's go there. I've got nothing else to do. Genesis 16. I think it's Genesis 16. Verse 20. Genesis 16. can't be 20 because there's no 20 verses there. But process of elimination. But let's see. We'll find it here. Genesis 17. Look at verse 20. And as for Ishmael, I have heard thee. Behold, I have blessed him, and will make him fruitful, and will multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he beget, and I will make him a great nation. Amen? There's a promise. But there's a place where it calls him a wild man. What was that? Verse? Is that chapter 17 that I just read?
Yes.
Okay. In chapter 16, it says here, so be a son. And I apologize, but I know that in one of these chapters, it calls him a wild man, either 16 or 17, and it says he'll be against everybody, and everybody will be against him. Mm-hmm. And that's just how it's panned out through all the years. They kill everybody, and they don't care. Anyways, he's got his blessings as well. You can see that. God is faithful to him. And it's just sad that this thing here works out that way. Let's see, verse 12. Oh, yeah, 16:12. Genesis 16:12. And he will be a wild man. His hand shall be against every man, and every man's hand against him. And he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. Isn't that amazing? This guy will dwell in the presence of all his brethren, which are primarily who? The nation of Israel. Because he descends from Abraham as well through Hagar. And here it is. It's been panning out this way forever. This is nothing new. It's just getting crazier. For this reason, folks, when Jesus came into the world, he told a religious leader named Nicodemus, let's go there. Let's go. Because it's all about a kingdom, folks. It's about a kingdom. It's about who runs who rules, when and where. John chapter 3, verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. If you're not saved, you're not going to be able to see the things pertaining to God's kingdom. You must be born again. You got to be born again of the Spirit. Otherwise, you're just going to live in the same confusion that the world lives in right now. Verse 4, Nicodemus saith, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter into the second time in his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. If you go to Ephesians chapter 5, the water means the word of God. Jesus in John chapter 6 taught that his word is spirit. Mm-hmm. Without the Bible, without the working of the Spirit of God through the scriptures, you cannot be born again, you cannot understand the things of the kingdom of God, and you will not be part of the kingdom of God as well. You must be born again. It's an imperative. Are you born again? Are you saved? Have you called upon Jesus? The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Have you called on Jesus to save you this morning? No religion, no denomination, the Jew, the Gentile, the Palestinians, this church, no denomination, only Jesus can save.
Amen.
Jesus died for me. He died for you. He died for the Palestinians. He died for the Jews. He died for the sins of the world. If you want to have eternal life with Jesus now and in his kingdom, you must be born again. How are you born again? Well, you've got to take a step of trusting what the Bible says. The Bible says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. The world, the Jews and the Palestinians, the Gentiles. He'll save anyone that will call upon him to save them. He promises eternal life and life more abundantly. I never knew what life was until Jesus saved me. I never understood any of the things that go on in the world until he gave me the Spirit that inspired and authored this book. And now I can see the simple answers to some very complex problems. Will you be saved today? Are you saved today?